Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Trash Talk with TK. In this episode, we had a conversation with Jack Fritz, producer at 94 WIP of the evening show, and Andrew Porter, the digital guy here. He handles all the website stuff, also a host at WIP. We're supposed to just talk about the Sixers, but it turned into a much more wide-ranging conversation. So I hope you enjoy it. Here's TK, Jack, and Porter. All right, now we're going to talk to Andrew Porter and Jackie Pucks, Jack Fritz, talk a little Sixers basketball. What's up, guys?
So we're just coming in as guests. Like, have you been doing a podcast to start?
Well, I'm going to fill in around interview.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to fill in around it. I'll do a lead in afterwards, and it'll all sound natural in the end. Obviously, I'll have to cut this part out.
Why?
I mean, I'll just leave it. Who cares?
This is radio gold.
And this is great.
We got the Sixers.
Thanks for adjusting my mic there, Jack.
Is it your mic?
I don't know whose mic it is. It does look a little overmodulated, but we'll figure it out.
One of those mics comes.
I usually wear headphones.
Well, but sometimes it goes like way high, and I don't want to blow out the listener's ear.
We only have two microphones, so that's
out.
Why it's a
we're
little
a
more
Sixers
difficult.
Blowout
Talk
party.
Talk to the microphone, Porter. Come on.
So we're sharing a mic, and it's shaped like a penis, so it's very uncomfortable.
Well, this is TK. This is the Trash Talk Podcast.
That's
so
right.
We can talk about penises on this one.
Yeah.
What are we talking about tonight?
We're going to talk about the Sixers. What do you guys... I need to have Jack on to talk about his quote-unquote son, Markelle Fultz. And I can only imagine how annoying he was the other night during that Sixers game. Markelle Fultz... scores his first couple baskets. How excited were you? How annoying were you during that game?
Well, I wasn't. No one knew what I was doing. So, like, I obviously wasn't on the air. I was just behind the glass. But Giulio was trying to have a serious conversation about something. I'm not sure what it was because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, he told me you weren't paying
attention. And I was just jumping up and down, screaming. Bartrid came in. When he hit the Hezzy pull-up Jimbo and he did that, I was melting. And then Bartrid came in, picked me up off the ground. We hugged. I don't know what Giulio was talking about. He tried to bring me on to talk about it, and I was like, Joe, I'm being honest here. I don't know what you were talking about.
Well, I mean, that's a real pressure-packed shot, up 25 late in the fourth quarter.
He's got the clutch gene, TK. It's clear.
We'll see if he can do it in the playoffs or do it in a close game. I mean, I thought he was all right. I think that his outing was a little overhyped by some people.
Yeah, it was a little bit overhyped, but it was certainly... Nice to look, we're allowed to overhype it. Like, I get Sixers fans, it's like you have two categories, Sixers, the process fans, and then like everyone else. So like the process fans are allowed to overhype it because we're so, it's like Markel's back, Markel, Ben, Joel, like just to see him on the court is awesome. Like whatever, you can hug and kiss whoever you want. It's amazing. This is what we've been waiting for. But if you're like being serious and you're an actual analyst and you're analyzing his game, like he was fine. He made it. He turned the ball over a few times. He got a shot blocked a couple times, made a ridiculous layup. He's not shooting threes. He's clearly still mentally messed up. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
In other words, the Sixers probably still made a pretty big mistake by trading up the one to go get him.
No, right? that's a ridiculous right? take. That's a crazy take.
I don't know if it is. Looking back on it, I would much rather have just sat there and drafted Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum isn't good, man.
What are you talking about? He's not good. He's had a really good year.
We're talking about 65 games, though. Like it took Kawhi Leonard 4 years to average 20 points. It took Jimmy Butler 4 years to average 20 points a game. Like it takes a while. These kids are 19. You know, Steph didn't peak till he was 27. So like let's chill.
Well, at least they were on the floor for their rookie seasons.
Who cares? Simmons wasn't. Embiid wasn't.
Well, that was injury related.
Whatever
that was
the
different.
Reason, though, you got to give the guy some time.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I think people
you
are getting
trust
a little.
The process, Tom.
I trust the process.
It doesn't sound like it.
I am a process guy. I'm part of this. You know, I like to get under Jack's skin a little bit.
Me? I think I'm handling this pretty well.
You're preoccupied. You obviously don't care about
this
at all.
On the blatant slander that I've been taking. No, I love Marco Fultz. I think he's going to be a CJ McCollum-ish light kind of player. In that he's going to be able to get you a bucket when you need a bucket.
Light? Yeah, you should want better than that if you're number one pick in the draft. CJ McCollum light? I won't be happy with that
at
all.
I meant to say a CJ McCollum, Brad Beal, Bradley Beal mixture. I think that's what he's going to be. And I'm not going to go overboard on his first game. I was happy he was out there. I was happy he hit the jumper in the second half. But like he got a shot blocked 5 times. Every time he tried to turn or do a little spin move in the lane, guys are standing right there. And I'm worried about in the playoffs. Because once the playoffs come around, they're going to be scouting that entire thing. He's not going to be able to get a spin move on.
You got to admit, the praise he was getting for that assist to Ilyasova when he spun and the defender was right there. Dude, and he just like had to dish it off and be like, oh, what a great find.
He had 8 assists, and it was the most misleading 8 assists I've ever seen in my entire life. They were hitting just his shots. That's what it was.
I mean, he just gave to Covington for a three. I mean, 4 out of 5 times, Covington misses that shot.
They had 100.
So, you know, that was kind of lucky right there.
I don't know why I came on this podcast. This blatant slander against my sons.
This was the whole point of you coming on the podcast. But as seriously, looking at the Sixers going forward, how far do you guys think they can go? And do you honestly believe Fultz can play a contributing role in the postseason?
This is the best question in sports today, is how far can the Sixers go? And yeah, thanks for asking that question. That is the best question in sports today, and the answer is they can win the NBA championship, because the qualifier here is how far can they go.
Okay.
They can win the NBA
championship. How far do you expect them realistically?
There are 5 teams that can realistically win the Eastern Conference: Cleveland, Boston, Toronto, Philly, and Washington. Miami, Milwaukee, and Indiana have no shot. The Sixers are one of 5 teams that can win the East. And in my opinion, they are the best team in the Eastern Conference when they play their best. Now, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. It's sports. You don't know injuries, foul trouble, whatever, shooting, a lot of factors. I think the path is they beat Indiana in the first round. They beat Boston in round two. They get Cleveland in Philly for an Eastern Conference final series. So that's kind of how I see it.
I do think you got to get to that 3 seed so you get Boston in the second round, so you don't have to play either Toronto. Well, you don't have to play Toronto because they can beat Boston. There's no doubt in my mind they can beat Boston.
Love is out with a concussion, by the way, so that is another injury for Kevin Love. So this 3 seed is going to be wrapped up way before April 6th. I'm dead serious. They're going to win 5 in a row. They're going to be 48-30.
I was saying this to John Johnson schedule last night at the Phillies roundtable, which was tremendous, by the way.
Hey. Thanks.
Yeah. Shit. Well, the only sure, I don't care.
It's trash talk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point. You didn't hear. You must not. This is a very vulgar podcast. The only poor part of the roundtable was the final couple minutes of the hour when Jack
the rapid fire questions.
Asked a question.
Some say the most important part of the hour.
But
we're just trying to ruffle everyone's feathers.
But I still think, until I see otherwise, I still have trouble believing anybody's going to beat LeBron in the playoffs in the East.
No, that's a fair take. And here's the thing with the Sixers is we're all high on them. They haven't lost at home since, what, like 2015. They're still not a great road team. I mean, no matter, like, we're two weeks removed from them blowing a lead against the Bucks on the road.
That wasn't their current team. Like, that was a team without Marco Bellinelli, without Ersan Ilyasova. They were both there. They were? It was like their first week, maybe.
Well, anyway, that brings up I saw your tweet this morning about how dramatically the team has gotten better since Jared Bayless went out.
Oh, Jared Bayless is horrible.
Saw an opportunity.
That was the last time we spoke, the three of us, on air together. TK was right. He was the worst thing that ever happened to the Sixers.
He was.
He was horrible. He was playing 40 minutes a night in October.
And he's terrible.
You still have to pay him $11 million next year.
Seriously? Yeah. There's no way you can get out of any of that.
Well, I mean, you'd have to trade a draft pick or an asset along with him to get out from under that contract.
So you're that team now. You've completely switched over to you're the team attaching the assets instead of taking on the bad players.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only really bad contract they have. I mean, I think Amir's been playing better than Rashawn. Rashawn Holmes.
I mean, Amir Johnson's okay.
You're wrong on that take,
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, how?
Amir's good. Amir's a solid
Rashawn
backup.
Holmes doesn't get enough. I still think he should be playing
Rashawn
a little
Holmes
more.
Sucks. He's not going to be in the NBA in 2 years. He's done.
I disagree. Amir Johnson won't be in the NBA in two years.
Well, he's 33, but Rashawn Holmes.
No, he's only like 20.
30?
By the way, that makes me feel so old that I'm 31 and Amir Johnson's 30. He looks like he's 50 years old.
Nah, he's a good backup center. Anyway, Cleveland, but to Jack's bad point on how good Cleveland is and your point on how LeBron's going to win. Like, they just lost to Miami by 20. Like, the Sixers don't lose to anybody by 20.
Well, did
the Sixers ever get blown out? But I'm just saying, like, Cleveland gets blown out by teams. They're clearly an inconsistent team that they're not. They're LeBron. When LeBron wants to get hot and dominate games, they win. Otherwise, Jordan Clarkson, are you kidding me? Ben Simmons is going to run right through that guy. He doesn't even try. Does he even play basketball? He's terrible.
LeBron is, you know,
I'm sick of
that. One of the best ever, though. He doesn't lose in the playoffs in the East.
I agree. I think LeBron's the best player ever. I mean, you can make that case. I'm not saying that, but he's still, you can't win with one player in the NBA. And if Kevin Love's hurt, I mean, forget it. That team's done without Kevin Love. He has one other All-Star. It's his worst team in 8 years. The Sixers are just better. They just have more talent. They are. I'm not scared to say it. I'm a homer. Jack's laughing. I'm not a homer. I really am not a homer.
The ones who say they're not homers are homers.
I'm not a homer. I'm a Sixers homer because they're good. I'm right. That doesn't make me a homer.
I do have a hot take on that Cavs Heat game.
I was down
night.
On the Eagles. I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, we all were. Me and Jack were the most vocal Nick Foles haters in this city, and we look like idiots a couple weeks
ago. Never happened. Never. Thank God we didn't do a podcast. We would have just added old takes exposed, and they would have been like, all right, these guys are trash.
No, but with LeBron last night, the Heat, I mean, I think LeBron threw that game. He's trying to make D-Wade look good.
Why? Why does he care?
He doesn't need the game.
The Heat are a playoff team. Why would he just throw a game?
D-Wade rejected him twice. When could that ever happen?
It was from behind.
In 2017.
Wait, Wade's a great shot blocker for a guard.
No.
He helped off because he knows LeBron's not going to pass it because his team sucks.
They were
in South Beach. I mean, you know what they were doing.
He was throwing Dwayne a bone. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah, here you go. You can win the game.
Yeah, that's what I think happened
there. What am I supposed to do with that take?
Yeah, well, I don't know. This is what we do.
Markelle Fultz, you also asked about Markelle Fultz going forward into the playoffs. I think it's a legitimate question that we can say, like, who would you rather getting backup point guard minutes, TJ McConnell or Markelle Fultz? I think that's a legitimate conversation because Markel's not shooting three, so they're kind of the same player in that they don't space the floor. I think TJ's more reliable in terms of like controlling the ball and playing point guard. Markel's clearly more athletic and helps them in transition, so it's an interesting conversation. I don't know. I mean, I guess they're going to figure that out going forward, but I don't know that you can, you know, TJ's been playing great for them off the bench.
I feel like TJ hasn't been as good the last couple weeks, though.
You're right.
You know, I feel like he hasn't been as good the last couple weeks. A few more stupid turnovers. Just, I don't know. Doesn't seem to be playing as well.
He's been quieter. He hasn't been as aggressive, but
maybe part of it is because they aren't asking him to do as much.
He's not
going to
run into players like a baby deer. And this is not like an anti-Fultz take, but he's just young. He's young and he's learning.
He literally moves like a deer, like a baby Bambi.
He does.
You can see how raw. He's the most. I said this yesterday. He's the most raw naturally gifted smooth player I've ever seen. Like, he's clearly got all it down in the world, but like his body, he just doesn't know what to do with his body yet, but he's also pretty smooth at the same time.
He doesn't look like he's running. He looks like he's gliding. Like, all the time, he's just like being pushed by a force behind
And you
him.
Know what's annoying is someone's gonna have to say, well, he's like lazy. Like, he doesn't look like he cares about being out there. It's like, what does that even mean? Just because he moves different? Like, Harden, they probably said the same thing about Harden.
Wade.
And he's a killer. Yeah. So, I do trust. Now, we'll see. The great thing is that we have 9 games to decide if Markelle Fultz is good enough to play in the playoffs. If I had to decide right now, I'm not putting him ahead of TJ in the rotation. Like, I think Markelle adds the dimension to this team, and I would actually rather him cut into Bellinelli's minutes. But
then the problem is you have to play him with Simmons a little. The problem would be you have to play him with Simmons a little more. So that's like, can you play him with Simmons?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I would like to see him play with Simmons a little bit.
But he can't shoot right now, so that's just like...
Yeah, that's too shooting.
But they already do TJ.
They do.
So I agree with Tom. I want to see it, because I want to see if it works, because if they can just get back cuts working.
But TJ will hit and make an open three. I don't think Markelle will even attempt an open three.
Is it completely absurd to think that they could just win out? With the schedule they have left?
Oh, no, not at all.
Like, how ridiculous would that
be if
they just win out?
They're going to win. Their next 5 are New York, Atlanta, Charlotte, I don't know, 2 other, the Nets. I mean, they play nobody. Then they play, the only tough games are home against Cleveland, home against Milwaukee, which is the last game of the season. So.
And Milwaukee's not even playing well right now.
Milwaukee's
I watched a little
good.
Bit of their game last night against the Clippers.
They very well can win out. They'll lose a game, though, because it's hard to win 14 in a row in the NBA, but they very well could do it.
I feel like they played the Hornets like every other night for the last month.
Yeah, they have played the Hornets a lot because their first half of the schedule was so front-loaded. They had all their Western teams in the front half, and then they get the Hawks 4 times, the Hornets 4 times, the Nets 4 times in the back end, and this is what happened. So people are like, oh, the schedule's easy. Well, they fought through a really tough schedule early.
And my last question for you guys, how dumb do the non-process trusters look at this point? The fact that the Sixers are having their most successful season in over a decade.
It's just to not understand the process is just so stupid of people. Like, it's the simplest thing ever, right? You freaking lose for a couple years, acquire top talent, get rid of all your cap space so you can sign these free agents, you know, trade for draft picks. It was the easiest thing to understand, and yes, people wouldn't get it. People just overreacted to the fact that they tried to lose for 3 years. They had been negligent for the last decade, and no one paid attention. The Sixers were dormant. No one gave a crap. They did this, finally, they did this, an innovative thing that no one ever did in the NBA. Actually, they did, but not to the extent that the Sixers did. And people all of a sudden freaked out, like this morally wrong thing, even though no one gave a crap about the Sixers until they did the process. Like, you're an imbecile if you don't understand what the process was. If you don't really enjoy this now over what you're watching before and you still are complaining about those 3 years, just get over it. Like, you were wrong. Enjoy this. I don't want you even cheering for this team. You shouldn't be allowed to cheer for the Sixers, in my opinion, if you didn't trust the process. But that's just me.
Well, that's the point. The point about it is the people who just don't understand it, which is remarkable to me, that there are people who I know they're smart people, they're intelligent people, but just don't understand the way the league works and don't understand the point of it.
It's not even the league. It's sports in general. I mean, like Royals, Penguins, Blackhawks, I mean, any team, Astros, Spurs, Sixers, I mean, Warriors. The only way to win is to get high draft picks and get young talent. It's the most obvious thing in sports history. So the irony in all of this is the anti-process people were mad because the Sixers were quote-unquote trying to lose games. But they were, in reality, they were trying to win an NBA championship. That's the irony in the whole thing. The only way to win an NBA championship was to lose games in the short term. And people like, I'll say, Howard Eskin or whatever, these Stephen A. Smith, they're just impatient when it comes to sports, and they think like the fan is owed winning because it's like we pay money, we're owed winning games. A fan isn't owed that. A fan is owed the franchise try their best to win a championship. And there you've 18 teams in the NBA that just try to stay afloat. They keep their job, and Hinkie wasn't like that. He was like, I'm going to try to win. If I lose my job because of it, I'll sacrifice myself, whatever. I'm just going to try to win. And you got to respect that. And now here they are, and the process works. And like,
and the point is, what were you missing out on?
Yeah. Anyway. And I get why. Look, Jody Mack, Glenn Macnow, Howard Angelo, Stephen A., Bill Simmons, on and on and on. I get why they're not going to be all in on the process now, because all we're doing in sports media is we want to be right. Like, that's more fun than anything else. So, like, they want to be right. And, like, they can't enjoy it because their heart's not in it. It's opposite for us. Because of them, we're all in. Like, our heart's in it. So
they wanted to be right, too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, they want to be right. They still do. That's why they can't enjoy it.
When the Sixers were 0-2, Glenn was saying, how's that process working out for you? And we're like, they're two games
and in. Just wait when you know, Simmons misses a week with a hamstring or something. Just wait. You'll see Howard's tweet. Like, oh, you know, whatever he's saying. He was talking about Porzingis forever. Porzingis hasn't played 50 games in his career. Porzingis is hurt every year. So, like, I don't understand.
Speaking of Howard, good for a guy that's never coming over.
Dario's amazing.
I mean, for a guy who's never going to play an NBA game, he's doing pretty well.
I wouldn't trade him for prime Michael Jordan.
I saw your tweet on that. That's so ridiculous.
Why? It's irrational, but I love him. I want to win with my guys. I want to win with Dario.
For Michael Jordan in his prime.
No, it's not fun. Who cares?
What do you mean it's not fun?
Who wants to win with Michael Jordan? It's stupid. He's the villain. Dario's our hero.
I don't know.
I'm not going to go that far. I just don't understand. Like, why was there ever an argument for Dario never coming over? Like, that was so stupid. Because if you looked at it, the guy had said on draft night, I'll be here in 2 years. And then he came over in 2 years. And I was like, oh my God, this guy actually came over? Like, what are we talking about? He was always coming over. There was never a debate.
Well, Howard reported that he wasn't, so that gained a lot of traction.
Well, he said he wasn't because he was forfeiting millions of dollars.
Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Scam hinky.
Yeah, and I've said it before, but like, while everyone was talking about how the Sixers were building a losing culture, they were actually building a program of winning with Brett Brown, and the hiring of Brett Brown is the most underrated part of the process, and him building this thing from the ground up, staying with it. You don't get 43 wins at this point without Brett Brown and having that system instilled. Like, you don't just throw a PJ Carlesimo with to Kevin Durant at the two guard and trying to make that work. You need to have an actual stable system. And even though TK hates Brett Brown,
I like Brett Brown, but if you have the opportunity to go out and get a guy like Mark Jackson, I think you might.
I will kill you.
I'm joking.
Like, Mark Jackson is such a bad coach. Mark Jackson is such a bad. He's the only person that could hold back the Warriors.
Well, he'll be calling the Eastern Conference Finals if the Sixers get there.
Brett's the man. Like, Brett Brown is, when it's all said and done, he'll have about four championships, maybe six. He'll be one of the greatest coaches in sports history, and that's going to happen.
I like Brett Brown, but I do get annoyed as somebody who works in the newsroom to have to cut up his two-minute-long droning answers all the time. It's very hard to pick a spot to start and stop when he goes on and he answers one question about how was your defense tonight, and he goes on for 3 minutes.
Do you think Markel answers those questions tonight?
No.
Do you think he's silent? I think he's got to
be a little more mature.
He should boycott the media. If I was him, I would stand there in silence.
Just like your boy Chip Kelly.
Yep.
Not really care what the media does.
Exactly, because the media is a bunch of scums.
You're in the media.
I know.
We're all in the media, I guess.
We're not real media members. Suckers, though. I don't need a Markel quote to write about Markel. I can just watch him and write about him. I don't need I played hard and it was a good game.
Well, I see why people would care about the injury, but...
Obviously wasn't hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the if he came out and just explained it,
this is all John Johnson's fault. Is basically what we're saying.
Oh my god,
this is all John Johnson's fault.
Don't do that. Jack and John Johnson are in a feud. A little inner WIP feud. They're in a feud.
He came out of nowhere and got all triggered and all offended that I just didn't care that he didn't answer questions and like put assumptions in my head that I was anti-media for some reason and try to play it off.
Jack seems to get in these feuds like a lot.
For some reason,
who else were you in a feud with?
Well, he doesn't realize that like it's not worth it anymore. Like yet.
Weren't you in a feud with Kevin Cooney?
me and Kevin Cooney do not talk.
About Freddie Kalvis, right?
Yeah, well, he was just... supposedly Kevin Cooney hates me, and the only reason he hates me is because I completely destroyed him in a Freddie Kalvis argument. And that's the only explanation I could possibly see.
I am anti-media. I think you are too, but I am 100% anti-media. The media in America, especially sports media, is 90% of the problem. Like, they're a bunch of idiots, and like, they start all of this stuff. The whole can we talk about this for a second? The whole NCAA, the coach who the reporter's a woman, and he what was that whole thing? What was the guy's name? And the NCAA, and Leonard Hamilton. Like, of course they didn't lose because they didn't fail. Why is everyone in a pit?
I'm going to defend the media here.
Oh my god!
Well, it was a perfectly legitimate question.
It was 8 seconds.
We watched the game together.
No, they should have failed.
Thing you said to me is, why are they
no
fouling?
They should have failed. You're right, they should have failed, but like, why does the media need him to say like, we should have failed? Like, of course they should have failed. It's not why they lost the game, but like, what did he want from them? They should have failed. Like,
okay,
it ended.
We'll answer the question, and the don't be a jerk off about it when it's a legitimate question.
Leonard Hamilton handled himself horribly.
Yeah,
it could have been like, I think he was wrong.
And is this true? I just couldn't get past this because he doesn't look that old. Leonard Hamilton is 70 years old.
Oh yeah, he's old.
How is that? He looks like he's a 45-year-old man.
Yeah, he's old. No, he's old.
That's crazy to me.
But yeah, no, I think he was.
The media handles it fine. You're right. Fine. Maybe that was a bad example, but I just think the media handles some things really poorly and uneducated in manner. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just weak. It's just so weak. It's by the book. It's so cycled. So people need to step out of their box sometimes and like just be honest.
I just think that people sometimes need to answer the questions without being patronizing. But
why can't they be patronized? Like, why does the media get so offended if like Chip Kelly's arrogant in a news conference? Like,
they're just trying to do their job.
But who cares? Like, it's funny. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a dumb question. The Eagles reporters ask the dumbest questions ever. It's like, these guys are idiots. Some of the questions they ask. The questions are horrible. I can't even give you examples, but like, listen to it.
The questions are horrible.
They're so,
I can give you zero
they're
examples.
So bad. They're like, oh, Doug, why'd you call the Philly special right there? Like, it's just the dumbest questions, man. Sometimes the questions are horrible. Look, I think a lot of problem. This is a big rant. I got on my soapbox here, but I think the problem is a lot of the people in the media, they don't play the sport that they're covering, and that's a big problem, I think, personally. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm biased. But like, Andrew Porter talking Eagles football? The heck do I? I don't pretend to know about offensive line play. I never played football, but some people do.
I played football. I don't think I know a lot more than anybody else.
What level?
Now. High school. I was a starting middle linebacker.
Well, that's
I know
good.
Probably,
no, that's impressive.
I can't believe
what,
that.
What was your coach thinking, TK? You're not a middle linebacker.
Our team was 3-9.
Well, I think there's a reason behind that.
We had a lot of seniors who had just graduated, so there were a lot of spots open.
My only problem with the media in this city is that they ran Sam Hinkie out of town because he wouldn't give them quotes. And that's the only reason. They wrote stupid hit pieces about Sam Hinkie. I will never get over it because I miss Sam, and what he did here is going to go down in a statue at the Wells Fargo Center, hopefully one day. Most of the media does a good job. I like the media. There's some people who I have problems with, but most of them work at NJ.com.
You both are incredibly anti-media, I think.
I'm
sticking up for my media brethren.
No, I thought Dana Jacobson did her job. I think it was perfectly fine for the reporters to ask Mark Fultz about the injury. It's just that I don't care what the answer is. Like, we all knew what happened with Markelle Fultz. People who don't understand what happened with Markelle Fultz to be like, well, tell us what's wrong with your shoulder. It was never the shoulder. He had a mental problem. He had anxiety.
We can just say I don't want to talk about it instead of standing there like a child.
He's 19. He's
asking for a towel.
I don't think you can diagnose him with anxiety, though. That's a little bit unfair. I think he had a mental problem.
Brian Windhorst said that.
Brian Windhorst said that on ESPN.
That what? He had anxiety? Really?
But I didn't know Brian Windhorst knew anything about anybody except for LeBron James.
Right.
So I don't know where his
some media people are really good. Some are really bad. But usually, the louder the voice, the worse they are. Because like Stephen A. Smith is just, you know, yelling and is irresponsible. And, you know, you have a lot of guys like that. So that's kind of what I hate.
Okay.
But like guys like Andrew Porter, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter.
All right.
Great takes.
What is it?
Trash talk.
Give out your handle.
Nah, they can find it. Just search. Google me. You'll find it.
Yeah, it's not even worth it.
Yeah, it's not even worth it. Google me.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for us.
That's it. I want to talk
this.
More. What else can we talk about?
You guys want to talk about the Phillies?
That's Jack's expertise.
Jack's had enough. Jack needs to move on.
88 wins.
Things, I think.
No, the Phillies media is okay, but they're doing better now that I'm here. to spread more truth about this team. And it's good they have someone that plays baseball that understands the sport. And Matt Klemtak was.
Hey, you want to talk? Yeah, you want to? Should we talk about whether Jack's going to throw 82 miles per hour at this Reading Phillies game? Not going to happen. Jack's throwing out the first pitch at a Reading Phillies game. What's the date of this?
May 16th.
May 16th.
Well, it'll be Facebook Live. Yeah. Porter will be there.
What's this? So the bet's what? You can throw 82?
Yeah, 82.
Not happening. No, wait, no chance in hell. Yeah. It's going to be pathetic. It's going to be real.
Why is it going to be pathetic? I'm 2 years removed from throwing 82.
Seeing anybody on the mound, please wear a full baseball
throw,
uniform.
Yeah.
Wear a full Reading Phillies uniform.
You can't throw the first pitch full speed.
We're setting it up to where it's not. It's like the first pitch, also, I needed to throw 82 to fulfill this bet.
The best
Who's
thing?
Catching?
One of their players. I don't know.
One of their players? It's going to be
mascot. I will kill that mascot if I have to throw 82. I don't care.
There's going to be no gun. Like, there's going to be a radar gun?
There's a stadium gun. They have a stadium gun.
Yeah, they're going to turn on for you.
They're going to have to. Isn't that the whole point of this bit?
Right.
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, because me and Jillio have a bet that I can throw 82, so I got to build up the arm strength. I'm 2 summers removed from sitting 82 to 84.
Oh, so you have you still have May 16th to throw 82?
Yeah.
How fast did you throw in college? I mean, how did you throw college?
Well, 82 to 84.
Oh, so you could do it.
He's not doing it.
Why can't he do it? Why?
Because that's you don't believe not him? That easy to just come back off not throwing for 2 years.
Well, he played in college. 82 is not that hard if you played in college.
I'll tell you what's gonna happen. He's going to go out there.
It's like saying Jody Kramer can't hit 38 foul shots. People are like, oh, my God, that's so hard. Like 38
foul shots are so much different than throwing a baseball 80-plus miles per hour.
82. It's not that much.
82 is
How fast do you think you could throw a baseball?
Like, I don't know.
I could probably throw 65, 68.
Maybe 60. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I haven't thrown
Look,
a baseball in years.
But you could automatically get to 60. He's a college pitcher. He just has to get to 82.
Yeah.
It's like riding a bike.
It doesn't even have to be accurate.
I don't have to be accurate. That's the key. I can just throw it as hard as I can.
What's going to happen is you're going to go out there, you're going to wind up, you're going to try throwing as hard as you can, and you're going to tear your rotator.
That's fine. If I hit 82, that's all I care about. So what if I can't have a catch with my kids as an adult? Whatever. It doesn't matter, because this one time when I was 24.
It seems relatively short-sighted of you.
Are you
going
to test this before?
Yeah. Well, me and Bartra are starting to throw around.
Oh, yeah. That'll help. Yeah. That'll help big time.
I just needed someone that can catch me. And he can catch me.
I don't know. I'm not saying it.
Listen. Pressure makes diamonds.
Pressure makes diamonds.
Tough times don't last. Tough people do.
I'm just going to throw out all the cliches.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'll come around. It'll be okay. And really, I just hope it's funny. That's all I care about.
And the last thing I wanted to talk about on my podcast.
Oh, the Phillies are winning 84 games.
84 games. I have 83.
Okay.
I think, but, you know.
84. Hoskins has 35 homers. Michael Franco has a nice bounce back year. Aaron Altair becomes an all-star, of course. That's been my brand for a while. Aaron Nola is a top five NL Cy Young winner.
Well, then now I have 80 over 84.
Well, no. There's a lot of things.
What's going to be interesting with this team is Gabe Kapler, with all the guys they have on their bench right now, he's going to make a ton of in-game changes. I could see 2 double switches per game.
Love it.
I don't think Santana will play 9 innings, like, barely at all.
Rhys Hoskins is not going to hit 35 home runs. That's my hot take. Is he's under 25 home runs. He kind of comes down. Yeah,
it's a pessimistic.
It's fine.
Pessimistic opinion.
It's fine. 25 home runs. Scott Kingery will be a success. A 275 hitter. They'll win 84 games. 85 games. But Rhys Hoskins is not hitting 40 home runs, 35 home runs.
I think he'll hit like 35.
I'm just saying that the Rhys Hoskins 25 home run take is worse than the I wouldn't trade Dario for a prime.
Didn't NBA. Tommy Joseph hit like 25 home runs?
Yeah, Michael Franco at 24 last year.
Michael Franco is
all right. Fine,
a
28. He'll hit 28. 30. 30. What's Rhys up? 30.
His over under is 28.5.
And I was gonna. I was
okay. 28.5. That's what I say. It's a good number.
So 80,
not 35.
83, 84, 84, 85.
I don't really know.
But
who
none of
cares?
Us have been in the playoffs. Okay.
No. I mean, I think they can make the playoffs.
Or who cares?
Yeah, like, no, I mean, like, people project, like, oh, how many wins are the Phillies going to have? It's a fun game to play. But, like, who really, 88, 82, like, I don't know.
And the last
it's 162 freaking games. Who the hell is going to guess the number?
The last thing I was going to talk about, I was going to do this as a rant by myself, but with you guys here, I might as well just get your guys' thoughts on it. This freaking Marlins man. Look, this guy. This Marlins man. I can't stand this guy, man.
I miss this story.
Dude, he's in a big dispute with Derek Jeter now about he thinks he deserves preferential treatment from the Marlins. He is a clown. He needs to go away. Go away. I'm tired of seeing this guy at every sporting event flashing his stupid Marlins jersey. Okay. He thinks he's some kind of big shot. He deserves preferential treatment from the Marlins. He is nothing but a clown who wants attention. He has all this money, so he thinks he's somebody special. He brings these hot girls to the games. He's obviously just paying them to go there with him. So, right. He's just a joke.
Well, the story...
I had more, but I'm a little flustered now. It makes me so angry.
The story is that he walked into Derek Jeter's office. This is the way he portrayed it, because he's a pathological liar. I don't know if you heard him on Part of My Take, but he's...
I didn't hear that one.
It's hilarious, by the way. So, but he walks in, and he said he dropped a $200,000 check on his table, and Derek Jeter ripped it up and threw it away. Is how he portrayed it. Because...
Wasn't he offended that Derek Jeter didn't know who he was?
Right, he said, do you know who I am, to Derek Jeter? And Derek Jeter's like, no, I don't know who you are. But the season tickets that he was trying to buy for $200,000 are actually worth $300,000. So he's trying to get a major discount, and he's mad that the Marlins said no. And then he's trying to turn his whole thing is pay it forward, and his whole thing is about the troops and all this stuff. And he makes up this whole thing about how he's all for the troops, and like he tries to say the Marlins don't care about the troops or the first responders. Like the guy is a cancer.
He's a fraud. He's only about himself. He's all about himself.
So he tries
and his brand that way. I thought you might like him because he's kind of Jack-esque in a way.
Thanks,
promoting
man.
His brand.
I really appreciate that.
Sorry,
the love.
Sorry. Without all the troops.
But he refuses to go to Indians games anymore because he tries to say that the fans are mean to him. One time, again, wasn't true. If you look at Indians games, you can't see behind home plate. There's no camera behind home plate, so he's not on TV the whole time. That's the only reason he will never go to an Indians game again.
I would love him to come to a Phillies game. I would boo him mercilessly.
We'll go. That'll be a TK bit.
Yeah.
That'll be trash talk in the flesh. We'll go and we'll
okay.
boo.
We'll record a remote episode of trash
we
talk.
Will, we
at
will,
the Phillies game.
We will
heckling
boo.
Heckling Marlins.
We'll kill him. We'll
whoa. No, we will not. We will not kill anybody.
Tongue
Let
in
me
cheek.
Just be
you can
clear
say that.
About that.
Listen, you bring a bad boy on the Trash Talk podcast.
That's a problematic comment. Can't be saying stuff like that in 2018, Jack, even if it is in a joking manner.
Yeah, I got nothing on that.
That's all we got. All right.
I got this. I just got word that Kevin Durant was on Bill Simmons' podcast, and he heavily praised the Sixers.
Can't wait.
So
when is he a free agent again after this season?
No, we're not talking about that. We're
just
impressed.
Am.
No.
You don't want them, guys. You don't want to add any good players.
We're not adding.
Good players.
There's guys who are talking about how the Sixers are better than them. We don't need them. Also,
sign LeBron, trade for Kawhi.
No, we don't want LeBron. Also, Elton Brand was in studio today. Did you guys see that picture?
I heard he was.
With the legend.
How tall is he?
6'10 or something. He looked taller than he was. Good guy.
Okay.
Basketball icon.
Elton
Brand.
Wait, is he a coach with the 87ers?
GM? He's doing big things.
Are they changing the name?
He might replace Brian Colangelo one day. They changed it to the Blue Coats.
Oh, they did change it.
Yeah, Blue Coats.
I thought I saw that. Yeah, the 87ers Blue Coats. Was a stupid
He also told me Furkan's a beast. Beast.
Furkan.
Furkan's a beast. Are you guys nuts? Oh, let's bet. Hot take machine. What do you want to say?
Furkan, TLC, all those guys. I'm not a fan of them.
Furkan and TLC, you put in the same category?
Yeah, they're similar.
No.
Yeah, they are basically the same guy. They're drafted at like the same point in the draft, same kind of player.
No, please.
Furkan's more of a shooter.
Furkan's way better offensively. Way better offensively.
Neither of them are going to be anything in the NBA.
Oh, Furkan will be an NBA starting player.
No way. You're crazy. You're
snickered.
crazy.
You can't shoot?
I like Justin Anderson better than both of them.
I like Justin Anderson. Well, but you guys are way down on Furkan Korkmaz. Furkan Korkmaz will be an NBA starting player. I guarantee it sometime in the future. He's 19 years old. TLC is like 22 and he can't dribble. And I like TLC, but he's just not. He's a role player. Furkan is a stud. He's 6'7". He can shoot. He's crafty. He can pass. He can handle. He's
Where
athletic.
Have you seen all this?
Video. YouTube.
Video.
Elton Brand. I talk to people.
Against what kind
Highlights.
Of competition?
Warm-ups. You can just watch the guy shoot. Ask Mark Zumoff. I ask around. I'm telling you, the guy can play. I don't want to talk about my sources, but I talked to Mark Zumoff. I talked to Elton Brand.
Zoo.
I talked to some people. He can play basketball. I'm telling you.
He can play basketball.
He's very good. He's a very good player.
I don't know. He's very good.
He's in their future plans.
No.
Yes,
they're going to sign LeBron, and then they're going to bring in all the ring chasers. All the ring chasers are coming to Philly. All the
Furkan Korkmaz is bad. He looks like Stauskas out there.
Oh, that's
I hate Stauskas.
He looks just like he's just like Stauskas. He's a fine shooter. Yeah, but you're over here saying he's starting.
He's done with this podcast.
I talk to people.
Dude, I know more about basketball than those people.
Oh my god.
You're wrong. Give me your Korkmaz take again.
He's maybe a ninth man on the bench.
He's a glorified Nick Stauskas.
He's a glorified Nick Stauskas.
He's got to be better than Stauskas.
How do you have no foresight? Like you think he's a finished product? He's 19.
He moves weird. Watch him. He moves weird. Stauskas moves weird. He moves weird.
Fultz moves weird, though.
No, he doesn't. He moves like you see where he's coming.
Fultz moves so weird.
You just said earlier, like, Embiid moves weird.
Embiid doesn't move weird. He's 7'2".
Yeah, he runs like an oaf.
You run like an oaf. Dude, I'll never understand the Furkan Korkmaz thing.
All right, well, that's how we'll end it, talking about Furkan Korkmaz.
That's what the people want. That's why they're here.
All right. And that's the show for today. Fun conversation with Andrew and Jack. Thanks to them for coming on. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more of me, I'll be on the air this weekend, Saturday into Sunday on 94 WIP from 2 to 6 a.m. I'll talk to you next time. See you later.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to HomeServe.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's HomeServe.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!